back in Proverbs. Who wrote Proverbs?
Solomon.
And Holy Spirit. Yeah, Solomon did. Yep. Yeah, very good. Solomon wrote most of it, but a bunch of wise guys. So let's ask God to speak to us in his word, right? He wrote it. So let's let him speak, right? I didn't write Proverbs. I definitely didn't write Proverbs. It would have been Dumberbs or something if I wrote it. All right, God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace and mercy and love. Thank you for all who are hearing your word go out. Let your word truly go forth and change hearts, God. Do it with a changed heart, God. A heart that you take from stone and make soft. God, we can repent and be saved. Not by our works, but by your blood. So make us wise, we pray. We want to be good stewards of all you've given us, of things and of people, of time, and of the call you've given us. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Saying 7, remember, these are the 30 sayings of the wise. So we got a little way to go. So saying 7. So again, these are probably sayings that either, you know, I'm no scholar, so I don't know if Solomon wrote them or if they were just common or Solomon made them famous. But wise people said these things. And there's things that people say today, right? Like a penny saved is a...
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Today, man, I'll take a penny earned. All right, let's go on. Saying 7 says this. When you sit to eat with a ruler... Yeah, I know. I think about this one a lot when I go out to eat or I'm with other people and there's food. It says, when you sit to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before you and put a knife to your throat. If you are a man given to appetite, be not desirous of his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. A lot to think about there. It says, if you're a man given to appetite, what does that mean? That's a nice way of saying, are you tubby? Do you have a big belly because you put too much food in your mouth? Yes, that's me. I'm tubby. And he says, when you sit down to eat with a ruler, well, not something to measure distance, but someone who's in charge, right? A lot of times, you know, at different jobs I've had or I've gone out with people who own businesses or things, they have fancy food, nice food, a big spread set out before you, a feast, right? It says, if you're given appetite, you have to think about what's before you, right? A lot of times, people do things for a reason, and the motive isn't always clear. Sometimes people will invite you out to dinner. And maybe a lot of times in business, you'll go out to eat for business. You'll go on a business lunch, a business dinner, or there'll be a business party. And they do that in sales too. They'll take out a prospective client and try and wine them and dine them so that they end up buying the product. Timmy, please come sit. They'll wine and dine to try and get the person to buy what they're selling or go into business with them. Oh, they treated me so good. They bought me these things. They took me to this baseball game. They brought me out to a fancy restaurant. They paid for my fancy steak. Yeah, I'm going to do business with them. And that's what this is kind of talking about. It says, if you're a man given an appetite and you want to be wise, you sit back. Not that you don't eat, but you sit there and you're not eating carefree. You've kind of got your little antenna up wondering, what's this really all about? Because if you're like me, you're not a rich man. So if you're sitting at a rich man's table, what does he want from you? Because you didn't bring money, so what does he want? Maybe you did. So he says, put a knife to your throat, like, oh. You know, in the old days, they didn't really have forks. You just used a knife for everything. So the thing you'd use to eat, put it to your throat so you don't eat, right? No, not going to take another bite. I'm still hungry. I want to eat more, but I'm not going to eat more. And part of it can be you don't want to look like a slob. You don't want to look like a glutton who's just eating all the food. You don't look like someone who's taking advantage of all the food. But you also don't want to let it to trick you. You don't want to, see that's what it says. It says deceptive food, that his food is there to trick you, to get you into something. And so be careful. So I think about that too. Sometimes when I go over someone else's house to eat, right? I don't want to be rude. I don't want to take too much food. So I'll eat. If they offer me more, maybe I'll take a little bit more. But if they offer me more, sometimes even if I'm really hungry, I won't always take it because I don't want to overstay my welcome. I don't want to eat all the food at their house. And then, you know, it's about being polite. You know, when Nana offers food or grandma's offer food, you know, you can't stop them. They're going over my friend Brad's grandma's house, and she would offer us food after food. Like, Grandma, we're stuffed. And she'd be like, what, you don't like it? You don't want to, Grandma, thank you. No, we just can't eat anymore. Right? When Grandma's offering, you can take it. But this doesn't have to be just about food, right? We need to walk in our lives and be careful what other people are using to get us to do things, whether it's friends or family or a job or and people around us, right? We don't, you know, at Costco, right? We get free samples. Why do they give you a free sample? What's the point of the free sample?
To get you to buy it,
right? It's not because they want to be nice. It's not because they care if you're hungry. I mean, to some degree, there's a thing in supermarkets with loss leaders, like the hot dogs are cheap, right? They want to give you a good experience, and they're willing to lose a little bit of money to give you a good experience that you might have a fun time there and want to come back and shop more. But all of it at the end of the day is to get you to spend money. No matter what it is, the 25-cent ice cream cones at Super One, they just want the mom or the dad to bring their kids to Super One for ice cream and then do their shopping there. They don't do it to be kind. It's not a charity. It's a business. And there's nothing really wrong with that, but you need to realize that is what Proverbs is teaching us. And especially with the government. A lot of foolish people say, I want free health care. The government should give us health care. Other countries have health care. Other countries have this. The government gives it. It's free. You're pretty foolish if you think it's free. Where does the government get its money?
For taxes.
From its people. So someone else is paying for it. Right? I've been tweeting at the governor because he's talking about doing reform for school choice and other things. And I said, don't make me pay taxes for government school. Give me money for homeschool. If someone else wants to send their kid to government school, fine, but they can pay for it. I shouldn't have to pay for it. It's not free school. I'm paying for it with my taxes. I'm paying for someone else's kid to go to school and learn things, and I can't opt out of that. That's not right. But that's the thing. We need to be wise, right? Proverbs wants us to be wise. And so we always need to consider what we're doing, right? Like that someone has a van that says free candy on it, right? Come here, kiddos, get some free candy. They're not, it's a trap. They're trying to kidnap you. They're trying to take you. Come here, kid, I need help, right? They're just trying to deceive you. So we need to be careful. And it's real easy to be tricked by food, because who here likes food? We love food. We'd eat all day if we kept it coming, wouldn't we? But let's go on. Saying 8. This one's interesting. It says, do not labor to be rich. Wait a minute. You're telling me that when I work, I'm not supposed to get rich? Cease from your own wisdom. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings and fly away as an eagle toward heaven. So we have to listen to what this is entirely saying. He's saying, don't work with just the intent to get rich. The Bible is very clear that it's harder for a rich man to enter into heaven than it is for a camel to go through a little eye of a needle. I mean, it's hard enough to lace a shoe when the shoelace is not right, right? Imagine a camel trying to go through that. The Bible is saying not that you can't be rich. Solomon was one of the richest men ever. David was rich. Abraham was rich. God is rich. But what he's saying is, don't do all your work just to be rich. Why? The Bible says those who have wanted to be rich, desired the things of the world, have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And then a lot of times rich men sacrifice their families to get rich. They sacrifice their marriage. They sacrifice their kids. They sacrifice, like that guy Demolition Ranch, he's retiring early because he realizes, man, I'm doing all this work, I made all this money, I've got more than enough money, but my kids are growing up. I need to go spend time with my kids before they're adults, and I don't have that time with them anymore, right? He realized the wise thing to do is not to keep making money, it's pointless. It says, cease from your own wisdom. Your own wisdom says, I'm going to get rich, I'm going to keep getting rich, all I need to do is get rich, and again, we need to work hard, but we need to do all our labor as unto the Lord. The Bible says, do everything as unto God. He says, will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. They fly away. I've had family members who had money in stock markets, and there was a big stock market crash 15 years ago, and they lost a lot of it. Now they've come back around, But when you invest and do things, there's a chance that you're going to lose it. And you know why you're going to lose it? Because everybody wants money. If you had $20 and you left it out on the hood of the car at Costco, I don't know, I was just there, so I guess that's what I'm thinking about it. Do you think that $20 will be there when you get back? Maybe not. I mean, we left the van door open once at Costco, and the van was still there when we got back. So maybe Montana's a little safer than we think. But sincerely, everyone wants money. So if you have money, they say that when people win the lottery or get rich, that they shouldn't tell the people around them. Because when people find out that you've come into a lot of money, they come knocking. Oh, Uncle so-and-so, friend so-and-so, where's that money? Everyone wants it. And it also flies away. Riches hastily earned also fly away quickly, right? That get-rich-quick scheme, you can't get rich quick. And if you do, it won't last. So he's saying, not that you can't be rich, not that you shouldn't be rich, but don't make it your primary goal in life. If God wants to bless you to be rich, then use it for his glory. Saying 9, do not eat the bread of him who has an evil eye, neither desire his delicacies, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and lose your sweet words. Right? Again, it's about, there's this idea of eating and becoming one with the person you eat. We talked about it on Sunday, last Sunday, when, you know, you would have a bowl and food at the table and you'd all eat from the same bowl. It's the same thing. He's saying, hey, this person has an evil eye. They're looking evilly. They're trying to take advantage of others. They're trying to do evil things. Don't trust him. You know, maybe he's poisoning you. Maybe he's going to get you to do something you don't want to do. He says, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. He's like, eat and drink, but he doesn't really care about you. He's not for you. He's just doing it to take advantage of you. And that's the opposite of the Lord. When the Lord says, eat, drink, it's for your blessing. When the Lord says, here, I want to bless you, receive it. When the Lord says, I want to give you something, receive it. But the world, when they say, we want to give you something, it's not usually good. You know, they're deceived. As he thinks in his heart, so he is. You know that the outside can be very deceiving, but someone's heart, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you just sit around and listen to someone for a while, you'll begin to hear whether they're real or not and what they're really about and what they talk about all the time. If all they talk about is money, that might be all they care about. If all they talk about is themselves and they never ask you questions and ask you how your day was and it's always about their day, not that there shouldn't be give and take, and not if it's a one-day thing, but if it's all they talk about, they don't care about you. They just care about themselves. So we need to watch out. Saying 10, do not speak in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. It's a waste of your time. It's a waste of your words. As a Christian, as a wise person, we're supposed to carefully choose our words. Careful what you say, little mouth. Careful what you hear, little ears. But sincerely, when you speak around a foolish person, they don't want your wisdom. They don't care what you have to say. So don't waste your breath. Saying 11, I like this one. Do not remove the old landmark and enter the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is mighty, and he will plead their cause with you. You know, that there's things that we talked about before about traditions, right? And about fences and like our property line. That over history, people have figured out a good way of doing things. And I think we use America as an example, right? Where the founding fathers came up with a certain form of government. And just because we don't understand it, we think it's not good. But when we really think about it, it is really good. Checks and balances, proper power to the people and limitation of government. So we don't want to quickly remove that old thing just because we don't know what it does. I remember taking apart things as a kid or even as an adult, sometimes trying to fix something and going, I have no idea what that does. If you don't know what it does, you shouldn't get rid of it. You might need it. Oh, I don't need that. I don't know what it does. It looks like it does nothing. Oh. Well, that was the most important part of this whole deal. You can't get rid of it. And it says, enter the fields of the fatherless. So don't trespass. And the fields of the fatherless, think about this. Think about if you didn't have a dad, or someone who doesn't have a dad, and they're poor, and they've got a field, and they're growing a little bit of food to survive. And he's basically saying, don't go into that field and steal from that field. Don't cross over that field and take advantage of that field. Don't go in there and take from them. Steal from them. Why? Because God sees. And even though their dad's not around, even though the husband's not around to protect the land, protect the wife, protect the kids, God is. And if you take from them and you harm those who are in need, better watch out. God will get you for it. You know, oh, no one else sees. Well, God sees. And he will plead their cause. That's the thing about going to court. Going to court against God. Who's going to be the best lawyer? Who's going to be the judge? Who's going to have all the evidence? God is. Saying 12, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to the words of knowledge. It's interesting to think about apply your heart to instruction. Instructions for your brain. Well, yeah, maybe 2 + 2 = 4 is for your brain. But if you want to be wise, where does instruction have to go? Your heart. It's not just knowing the right thing to do. It's choosing the right thing to do. And the choice comes from your heart. And you have to apply your heart to it. Like tonight at Kempo, Jake was doing some different forms. And Sifu Charlie was teaching him. And he did a lot of great things. But a couple little minor things he had to do differently. And sorry to put you on blast, Jake. You did a great job. And Sifu was talking you up. But when Sifu instructed Jake how to do a punch a little bit different, close his hand on one move and reach on a different move, Jake needs to apply his heart to that. He needs to think about it next time and apply his heart and say, okay, Sifu told me to do it this way. So this way, I need to do it this way. I need a purpose in my heart to do it that way next time. Because of course, Jake knows how to do that and knows how to do that. But if he doesn't apply his heart to it, and that's the thing too, is that if we want to be wise, we need to want to be wise. We need to pursue it. We need to go after it. Just like when you have a favorite food or a favorite thing. You know, a lot of times in life I get obsessed over new things and I apply my heart to it. I want to learn as much as I can about it. I'm going to watch a million videos. I'm going to go out and get the materials and make it. And I'm going to try it and do it because I'm applying my heart to it. And that's what we need to do for wisdom if you want to be wise. Anyone want to be wise in here? And apply your heart to it. It's not going to happen. Just like that spelling bee. Those words aren't just going to magically show up in your head. Right? You have to apply yourself to it. And that's the same thing with wisdom. I'm not saying you're not. But I'm saying if you want them to, they have to. Saying 13. Oh, here we go, guys. Listen to this one with my kids sitting in front of me. Do not withhold correction from a child. For if you beat him with the rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with the rod and deliver his soul from death. Now, there's two ways of looking at this. They could call the rod of correction, that correction itself is the rod. Or you could think of a paddle that says correction on it, and you use that to spank him. And we've talked about this before, that the job of a parent, the job of a grandparent, or someone watching over you is to correct you. And there's different things. A teacher should never spank you, but a parent might have to spank you, right? A teacher should be able to say certain things to your life, but a parent should be able to say those things in a different way to you. But that the point is a child doesn't know where to go. A child doesn't yet know what to do. Cece doesn't yet know that touching the outlet is bad. So we have to correct her. No, Cece, don't do that. Hi, Cece, I'm just making you an example. But we have to correct her. Do something wrong, correction. Like Sifu Charlie had to correct Jake. And it wasn't that he was purposely doing something wrong. It was just to make his form better. And if we're wise, we're going to realize we don't know how to do everything. And we need to be corrected. And guess what? The Bible says that God corrects those whom he loves. That God corrects us because he loves us. God disciplines because he loves us. And as a parent to a child, if I love my children, I must correct them. I must discipline them. Now, if my children go 2 + 2 = 5, and they've never done math before, And I go, I can't believe you're doing that. 2 + 2 = 5. Go to your room. You're in trouble. That's not fair. They need to be taught. No, no, no. 2 + 2 = 1, 2, 3, 4 = 4. Right? And teach them over and over. But if I've taught them 2 + 2 = 4, 2 + 2 = 4 over and over and over again, then the correction needs to get a little bit harder. And then if they're purposely writing 25 on the paper, then there kind of has to be discipline involved because they're purposely doing the wrong thing. And I don't know what that is with math, but extrapolate that to something else like cleaning a room or shutting a door when it's cold out. You know, sometimes it's okay, well, it's a warning, it's another warning, but then it's no video games, then it's nothing else. And the point of that is that if you correct him, even if you beat him with a rod, he's not going to die. But that's a worry as a parent, is my kid's crying. Oh, I don't like when they cry. I don't want them to not like me. I don't want them to think I'm a bad parent. You know, I could hear Cece crying earlier today, and I was upstairs, and at first you hear the baby crying, like, here, right? And then I sit and listen to it, and I actually listen to her cry, and I can hear in her cry, oh, she's fine, she's whining, right? Like, she didn't get hurt, she's just upset because she's not getting her way. Like, if you listen, you can hear it. But a lot of parents don't listen until they just hear crying, and they say, oh, no, we can't have the baby crying. Oh, no, we can't have my child upset. Oh, no, I can't say no to my child. I need to say no to them. I need to correct them. And even this, not that a 13-year-old should be spanked. I don't think that's correct at all. I think that spanking is good at a young age when it's danger to them, when they've hurt someone else, or where they themselves could get really hurt, like a baby running with a fork to an outlet. I got to tell them. I got to get their attention. They don't understand the words, so they need to understand the feeling. And the intent is never to hurt. They might cry, but I'm never trying to hurt. And even then, the few times I've had to spank are few and far between, and they get the picture, and I don't have to spank anymore. Right, guys? Yeah. And the thing is, too, even when I do have the discipline, it hurts me, too. And my mom would say, that hurts me more than it hurts you. I'd be like, yeah, right. Yeah, right, Mom. You see, you know. Yeah, right, Mom. You're not the one getting the punishment. But sincerely, the whole point of it is that I will use whatever rod necessary to deliver your soul from death. The Bible says that iniquity is bound up in the heart of a child, that it's in there. It's stuck in there, and I have to get it out. And if my words don't get it out, I gotta, right? Like, imagine if you had a piece of food in your mouth. Like Cece, right? Sometimes she starts crying with food in her mouth, and you have to get the finger in there to sweep it out. It's not fun. It might make her cry more, but she's getting in there. I gotta get it out. Now, if she had choked, what's one of the ways to stop a baby from choking? Well, in the old days, I don't know if it's still accurate. Don't listen. It's not CPR approved. You'd flip them over and hit them on the back to get that thing that was stuck in there out. You ever get something, a toy stuck in something else? You got to get in there. You got to pry it out. You got to smack it out. That's the same thing with sin. Sometimes it has to be smacked out of us. Why? Because it will kill us. And that's the whole point of discipline and correction, is not to take out my anger, not for a parent to abuse their child, but for a parent to correct them that their child, who is headed to death, will turn around and go the right way. I can tell you that before I knew the Lord, I was headed to death, and it took God going, okay, all right, Lord, I repent, right? Because if he didn't, I'd still be going, oh, I'm going to keep going this way and die. Saying 14. My son, who are my sons in this room? Nope, not you, Alicia. It's just you, Jake and Timmy, my sons. If your heart is wise, where's your heart? For everyone, where's your heart? My heart will rejoice, even mine. My inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. When you guys get the right answer on quizzes, I rejoice. Not only because my job is done, but because I'm proud of you. You did the right thing. You did a good thing. You said a nice thing. You got the answer right. There's things that you guys say and do that I go, wow, that's awesome. There's things that you guys say and do that I laugh because they're funny and I've trained you in the proper sense of humor. Just kidding. Sometimes you are. But there's other things I go, oh. And I go, oh, that's a little bit like me. In not a good way. But sincerely, when you do the right thing, it makes your parents rejoice. And who rejoices the most when you do the right thing? That's right. There you go. You know the right answer. My heart rejoices. God's heart rejoices when you do the right thing. When your lips speak right things. I can't change your heart, but I can try and get your mouth to say the right things, right? Saying 15, do not let your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all day long. For surely there is an end and your expectation will not be cut off. You know, I heard it said today that, you know, talking about kids going out in the world, that you will be tempted to love the world. You will be tempted by the things of the world to go after the things of the world, but know that they're not good. Know that they're not good. That your heart is going to envy sinners, like the psalmist says, that I almost stumbled. I saw the wicked prospering. I saw the evil doing well in life and all the righteous getting beat up and losing out. And I almost stumbled. And he says, Then I went into the temple and what? I realized their end. The wicked are gonna do real well on earth sometimes. That the wicked are going to be in power. We got these people going through the government, every line item that the government spends, and they're finding whack stuff, crazy stuff, wicked stuff. The wicked have been ruling more and more than we know. And the fact that if our founding fathers had been taxed and their taxes used for the things that they're using our taxes for, I don't know what they would do. But it wouldn't have been what we, okay, I guess we'll just vote somebody else. Oh, I can't do anything. There's so much corruption, right? That wickedness is going to prevail in this world. Why? Because the world is wicked and the ruler of the world is wicked too. So don't let your heart envy it. Because that's where it starts in your heart goes, oh, I want that. How come I don't have that? I live a godly life and I don't have that. But they have that. It looks so good. Look at how much fun they're having. They get everything they want. I don't get everything I want. God doesn't love me because I don't get everything I want. I've been praying for something for so long and I don't have it. Well, maybe if you don't have it, it's because God doesn't want you to have it. God, please, I really want to marry this person. And God's going, no, you don't. God, please, I really want to have a lot of money. He goes, no, you don't. You want lots of riches. Your heart wants riches, but money ain't riches. Your heart wants love, but she ain't going to love you. Because there's an end coming. God's not going to cut off your expectation. We expect good in life. We expect God to give us good in life. And if he hasn't given it, keep asking. God, please. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. But if he doesn't give it, don't envy it. What happened to the Israelites when they kept complaining? They weren't asking, seeking, and knocking. They were complaining in the wilderness. We used to have such good stuff in Israel. We used to have leeks and spinach and pizza. And, oh, it was delicious. No, they didn't. They were slaves. They barely got by. They had sand pie and sand soup for dinner. But Egypt was so good. It was so good back there. And God brought us out here to die. I just want chicken. This food God gave us is not enough for me. It comes down from the sky. All I have to do is pick it up and eat it. I don't have to work, but I don't want this food. And God sent them quail. And quail. And quail. And quail. And they ate it. And it said what? They ate it until they got, came out of their noses. That's my boy reading his Bible. You ever like, not to get gross, well, to get gross, you ever like thrown up really bad? Ever, I can remember eating a lot of popcorn in college and pancakes. And I remember throwing it up one day. It is a nightmare. It just doesn't want to come up. And that's what was happening to them with the chicken. God gave them what they wanted. And that's the worst thing of all is when we're not thankful, when we're not asking, seeking, and knocking, and waiting, and we're complaining, and our complaints, you want God to answer your prayers, right? You don't want God to answer your complaints. Because God will answer your complaints. And you're going to go, I wish I never asked for this. Because, yeah, you'll have something to eat. But it said what? He sent leanness into their souls. That God doesn't want your soul to be lean. If your pocket's empty, but your soul is full, you'll be good. And that's what correction is. It's saying, no, don't fill yourself up. Don't fill your life with this. Fill it with the right things. Fill it with the good things. And sometimes when God answers prayer, it's to give us good things. And sometimes his answer to prayer is no, right? And sometimes that's the best answer. We need to let our heart be acclimated to that answer. So, God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for wisdom. God, we pray that you would help us to accept your answer, whether it's yes, no, or wait. Wait's a tough one sometimes, because if it's a yes, why can't we have it now? But God, you want us to wait and learn and be patient and see how good you are. Sometimes the time just has to be right. You got to get that quail all the way cooked so we don't get sick. Sometimes we just have to wait for dinner that you provide. So help us put a knife to our throats when we're with a rich person and we're eating his delicacies. Help us to be wise and to discipline our children and to accept discipline. And help us to protect the fatherless and the widows and those in need, and not to rob from them, and to not move the ancient landmarks as well. So God bless your people and have your way. And thank you for your word. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So beloved, may God bless you and keep you and his face shine upon you.
There is a vineyard of the Lord. There is a vineyard for our soul. With all our troubles left behind, and all we drink first light until